internationally known radio and television newscaster and former head of the U.S. Information Service, died following a long bout with cancer at his home in Pawling, New York. Admittedly a smoker of up to 70 cigarettes a day, Murrow had been intermittently ill since 1963, when surgeons removed a cancerous lung. As WCCO listeners know, Murrow gained fame during World War II when his broadcasts over CBS from London told of the Nazi Blitz. His London broadcasts usually emanated from the rooftops of the great city as bombs fell all around.
This is London.
I'm standing again tonight on a rooftop looking out over London, feeling rather large and lonesome. In the course of the last 15 or 20 minutes, there's been considerable action up here. But at the moment, there's an ominous silence hanging over London. But at the same time, a silence that has a great deal of dignity. Just straight away in front of me, the searchlights are working. I can see one or two bursts of anti-aircraft fire far in the distance. Just on a roof across the way, I can see a man standing wearing a tin hat with a pair of powerful night glasses to his eyes, scanning the sky. Again, looking in the opposite direction, there's a building with two windows gone. Out of one window there waves something that looks like a white bed sheet. Window curtain, swinging free in this night breeze. It looks as though it were being shaken by a ghost.
In a recent broadcast over CCO Radio called Farewell to Studio 9, Murrow reminisced about his famous rooftop reports.
I had to stand on a rooftop for six nights in succession and make a record each night and submit it to the Ministry of Information in order to persuade the censors that I could ad lib without violating security. And I did it for six nights, and the records were lost somewhere in the Ministry of Information, so then I had to do it for another six nights before they would finally give me permission after listening to the second take of six to stand on a rooftop. So I had a lot of time up there.
Born in North Carolina, Edward R. Murrow was raised in Washington State. He earned his Phi Beta Kappa key at Washington State, and he wanted to become an educator. But in 1935, he began his long association with CBS. When Hitler marched into Austria in 1938, Murrow did his first broadcasting. And recently he recalled that broadcast journalists weren't thought of as much in those days.
That's right. I can remember when I first went to Europe in 1937, I was not permitted to be a member of the American Correspondents Association in London or Paris because I was involved in that ridiculous thing called radio.
But even as radio news grew, so did Edward Murrow. One of his most memorable reports came to be known as Orchestrated Hell. It told of a nighttime bomb run.
I began to see what was happening to Berlin. The small incendiaries were going down like a fistful of white rice thrown on a piece of black velvet. The cookies, the 4,000-pound high explosives, were bursting below like great sunflowers gone mad. And then as we started down again, still held in the light, I remembered that the dog still had one of those kind of incendiaries in his belly, and the light still held it, and I was very frightened. I looked down, and the white fires had turned red. They were beginning to merge and spread, just like butter does on a hot plate. The bomb doors were open, and then there was a gentle, confident upward thrust under my feet, and Boz said, "Cookie gone." A few seconds later, the incendiaries went. And D-Dog seemed lighter and easier to handle. I began to breathe and to reflect again that all men would be brave if only they could leave their stomachs at home. When there was a tremendous whoomp, an unintelligible shout from the tail gunner, and D-Dog shivered and lost altitude. I looked to the port side, and there was a Lancaster that seemed close enough to touch. He had whipped straight under us, missed us by 25, 50 feet. No one knew how much. Berlin was a kind of orchestrated hell, a terrible symphony of light and flame. There were four reporters on this operation. Two of them didn't come back. Two friends of mine, Norman Stockton of Australian Associated Newspapers and Lowell Bennett, an American representing International News Service. There is something of a tradition amongst reporters that those who are prevented by circumstances from filing their stories will be covered by their colleagues. this has been my effort to do so. I have no doubt that Bennett and Stockton would have given you a better report of last night's activity.
Edward R. Murrow stayed with CBS for 25 years. His salary grew to $300,000 when in January of 1961 he left CBS for a $21,000 a year post as director of the U.S. Information Agency. He resigned from the USIA on January of last year, a few months after his lung was removed. Murrow's last words were heard on WCCO and CBS last July on the program Farewell to Studio 9. CBS News was moving to new headquarters, and Murrow, his voice weakening now, recalled the old Studio 9.
I can remember it in the utmost detail. I know exactly where the leather couch was, how you used to swing that microphone around, sort of three-quarter angle. I'm wondering about your new quarters. I haven't seen them, but I'm wondering if they will make it any easier to know what to say and how to say it.
Edward R. Murrow lived out the last moments of his life on his 280-acre farm at Pawling, New York. At a news conference this afternoon, President Johnson had this to say on Murrow's passing.
I believe that all of us feel a deep sense of loss. We who knew him knew that he was a gallant fighter, a man who dedicated his life both as a newsman and as a public official to an unrelenting search for truth. He subscribed to the proposition that free men and free inquiry are inseparable. He built his life on that unbreakable truth. We have all lost a friend.
Murrow's longtime friend and former network boss, CBS Chairman William S. Paley, had this to say. No one will ever be able to fill the unique place Ed Murrow held in broadcasting. As a great journalist, as the originator of an overseas reporting organization unequaled anywhere for its distinction and competence, and as one who set standards of excellence that remain unsurpassed. His death ends the first golden age of broadcast journalism. All of us at CBS will miss him greatly, but we know that this imprint will be felt by our medium for all time to come. Now back to Ray Christensen.
As you would expect, Walter Cronkite talked about his good friend Ed Murrow tonight on Walter Cronkite Reports. We'll hear that report in just seconds. 41 degrees in the Twin Cities. It's 21 and a half minutes before 9. Nash's Coffee Time.
Broadcasting system. And thus began with this network a 26-year career, which was to become one of the greatest in American journalism. In 1938, he became a CBS News correspondent in Europe. It was not that he especially wanted to broadcast. He happened to be available at the time of the Munich crisis. In those critical days before World War II, Murrow began the broadcasts which were to make him a household name with his fellow countrymen. Even greater fame came after the outbreak of war in Europe, when he told the story of Britain under the Blitz, each broadcast starting with the words, "This is London." Soon he became head of the CBS News staff in Europe and began assembling the war's greatest staff of broadcast correspondents. He could have stayed in London, where the bombing was mostly over by then, broadcasting and handling his administrative duties. But he was fascinated by the danger where the fighting and dying was taking place. He never missed a chance to get as close as he could with the GIs at the front or on board a bomber over Germany. Sometimes his colleagues at night, over a drink of scotch, speculated that Ed Murrow seemed to want to court death to prove something. Exactly what, they never decided. After the war, Murrow returned to New York and took a job as a CBS executive. But that didn't work out, and soon he was broadcasting again. He quickly reestablished himself at the top in radio and won the same role when TV news began coming of age. One of his most famous broadcasts came in 1954, the See It Now documentary examining the career of Senator Joseph McCarthy of Wisconsin. Shortly after the broadcast, Murrow visited his friend Albert Einstein, who greeted him with the remark, "A real fighting man." In a business where other talents have flickered out in a few years, Murrow stayed at the top for a quarter of a century. But by 1961, he was ready for a change. And when President Kennedy asked him to become head of the United States Information Agency, Murrow left CBS for Washington. The network had been paying him several hundred thousand dollars a year. The government job paid $21,000. Murrow stayed with the USIA until January of last year, when he was forced to quit because of his health. In accepting his resignation, President Johnson wrote this: "I close, Ed, with a paraphrase of the words you made forever famous on radio and television. Good luck and goodbye." With all respect to the president, the exact words were, "Good night and good luck." Murrow won many awards over the years, too many to even begin to name. And anyway, he used to leave most of them piled up in his office collecting dust. In a different category was the tribute paid him this year by Queen Elizabeth. She named Ed Murrow an honorary knight commander of the Order of the British Empire. If he had been an Englishman, it would have entitled him to be called Sir Edward. Those are the facts, but there's so much more to the story. His integrity, for one thing. Ed Murrow was subjected to the same pressures as the rest of us in this business, often even more so. And sometimes when the stakes weren't too high, he may have given in, although I can't recall any instance offhand. But when the stakes were high, when the truth had to be told, Edward R. Murrow was indeed a real fighting man. Beyond that, there are the memories. Yet I'm sure I don't have to remind the millions of Americans approaching middle age about the great radio broadcasts. From the rooftop above burning London, from the bomber over Germany, and after the finding of the Nazi concentration camps. So I'll just close by saying that in these days of war in Vietnam, the Chinese atom bomb, and the civil rights struggle here at home, Ed Murrow will be missed. How much is frightening to contemplate. This has been Dimension on the CBS Radio Network, and this is CBS News correspondent Walter Cronkite. I'll be back tomorrow with Walter Cronkite reporting.
16 minutes before 9, that's Nash's coffee time. If you're in a hurry, use the ultimate in instant coffee, Nash's new instant coffee, now available at...